Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 273 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Gray. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hello, Dave.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. It's nice to have you back on again. So it's been a few weeks since you've been on. What have you been up to?
It has. Strangely, I haven't actually been watching that much. It's been quite busy at work. I'm just crawling towards a bit of annual leave coming up, so I can start getting back into things. I've watched a few things, but I've realised now, because TV's getting back to normal, I'll tell you later, I've been watching a lot of the routine weekly things, so I'm not like binging big series. A couple of series that I've managed to finish over the last couple of weeks. The first was the Anna Kendrick anthology theories on BBC Love Life. I think you previewed it.
I'm aware of it. I knew it was on. I haven't actually watched any of it yet though. So is it any good?
Do you know what? I really like it. It's told in the story of, you're going to find out who her person is that she falls for,
through
10 chapters of people that really impact her life in becoming to learn who she falls in love with. It's actually a really, really nice sort of storytelling. The episodes are 25 to 30 minutes long. And it's her, this character's life and who she interacts with. And I'm really excited that it's going to be coming back in the future, because that means with an anthology, we're probably going to get a new star who will head up the series, and you learn about their sort of journey. And it's just a really original, simple idea and told really well. And I really rate it, and I would recommend you go out and watch it. And the most bizarre fact is the narrator is Leslie Manville of Harlots and Mum, and you know, great British actress.
She provides
the entire narration, and she talks about Anna Kendrick's character as if she's the voice.
Okay, interesting.
So I would definitely recommend that if you want that bit of 30-minute American drama. And I think I said it on the last podcast, what BBC Two are bringing to iPlayer at the moment from America is really good. That there's some really good, strong content coming off the back of Awkwafina as Nora from Queens, which I talked about on the previous podcast. Really, really strong.
Yeah, the BBC Three pickups, the American pickups have been really interesting. The stuff they're just kind of buying for iPlayer, because it's not until the lockdown thing happened did they start really doing that. And it seems to be going quite well for them. They've picked up some really interesting little shows that have slipped through the cracks.
They started quite like probably about 2 years ago when they started with Better Things, didn't they, with this new Fox acquisition. Like, we got Better Things and Shrill and some of these little ones coming through. But I read an article, apparently the acquisition manager of BBC is really tapping into who they want to get onto iPlayer to sort of bring the Netflix style viewers, and some of the things I totally agree, they're really manageable chunks. The iPlayer has the really good resume watching function, and so those things are really consumable. So yeah, that's my recommendation, and you know, pushing towards iPlayer. The other series I finally finished, I know it was I'm a little bit slow, released much earlier in lockdown, I finished The Politician season 2.
I got a couple of episodes through season 1 and then other things got in the way and I never went back to it. But yes,
it's a cheesy, really saccharine, you know, it is what it is. It's felt a little rushed. I know there's a lot of comments about how quickly season 2 appeared. It's got Bette Midler, obviously one one of the key stars of season two. I enjoyed it. It's not, oh my, you must watch this before you die sort of thing. It's not one of those programs. Season three is coming. I can see how they've developed into season three already. They've left it on a little bit of a hang up. So, you know, I might watch it if it comes up. But the episodes were short, sweet. The series was shorter than expected. I think it came in at 7 episodes in the end.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, those are things I've finished. I realized I've been getting into like a procedural Sunday. I get in on a Sunday and I just sort of work my way through an episode of all the procedurals that we've got at the moment, like FBI, Most Wanted, 911, Lone Star. Yeah. I sort of do an episode a week. And that's where I mentioned earlier that I'm into this sort of process where I'm just picking up weekly episodes, so I'm not binging. And then you put that with the British stuff that we've got going on at the moment. So I watched Great British Bake Off. I watched Taskmaster. Have I Got News For You? Russell Howard. All these weekly shows are just filling up my time. Whereas during lockdown, I think I was binging a lot more and could go through all those series. It's just the nature of the change as we're coming out of, obviously we have a lot of dramas with lockdown in different parts of the country, but as we're sort of getting back to where more production of television is finding safe ways to go ahead, there's more TV to watch again. So I've been quite busy, but not completing anything. So that's my update. Dave, what have you been watching?
Well, second episode of Star Trek Discovery came out, and as we were talking a little bit about last week, it is sort of the flip side of, the season two ends for reasons that I won't go into with them going into the future. And the opening episode was all based around Michael. The second episode, as I suspected, is based around the crew of the Discovery who came through separately after her. So Michael arriving for episode one and then the crew arriving for episode two. Really interesting. We had a discussion a bit last week about whether it is still Star Trek at this point, because it has changed quite a lot. I think there was more of the feel of Star Trek in this episode because you were dealing with the whole crew rather than just one character. I'm still very, very much enjoying it. I think it's a really interesting direction they've gone in with this series. Now it pulled it out of being stuck in the middle of an established timeline, and now it's kind of pulled out and is kind of allowed to do its own thing a bit more. I'm really interested to see where they're going with it. They're already starting to shoot season four, so long may it continue. I'm really, really enjoying that, and I'm looking forward to the other shows that they've got coming up as well, like, you know, second season of Picard and Strange New Worlds and all that. But they're doing a great job with the show. It's really interesting and different, and it has its own little nice niche in the Star Trek universe, I think. Roadkill, I've caught up with this. Have you watched any of this?
I've read some great reviews. I haven't. This is one of those things that's come up on my suggested to watch, and I do love Hugh Laurie. I'm still trying to finish Harlot season two. And I think so when I finish that, I might go and watch this because I've read great things about it.
Yeah, it is really good. It's written by David Hare, who is the writer of Collateral. Stars Hugh Laurie as Peter Lawrence, who is this sort of self-made conservative. He's technically conservative, but he's kind of libertarian. So kind of an interesting character because he's kind of funny and bullish and quite sort of quirky, and he's more kind of bucking the system sort of guy. But he also has a lot of skeletons in his closets as well. So he plays this very charismatic guy. He starts off as being Minister for Transport. He gets shifted into a different position. There are things going on with his family. There's an affair. There is things going on with his daughters. And in the very first episode, you find out that he may or may not have a daughter, which he never even knew about as well. He's just come off winning this libel case, and he's managed to beat the newspaper. But the reporter that was in charge of that is sort of starting to fight back, despite the fact that they lost the case as well. It's almost House of Cardsian in the sort of, there's this web of things going on, which feels like it could collapse at any moment. But it is also got a lovely humour to it, as well as this sort of mystery and intrigue going on. It's a great cast of characters. Hugh Laurie, Helen McCrory from Peaky Blinders and that sort of stuff. You've Ian de Castecca from...
Is that from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
From
yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah, as well, who is great and plays the sort of aide to Hugh Laurie's character. And he's brilliant in this as well. So it's a really, really good set of people involved with it and well worth watching. It's on its second episode, although they are all up on iPlayer if you want to go and binge your way through them. But I'm doing that weekly at the moment. Carry on going with that. Billions returned with its first two episodes as well. Not really much to say about this other than it's pretty much a continuation of what it was before. It picks up where they left off with Axe Cap and Taylor Mason ending up having to kind of merge into one group at Taylor's dismay more than anything else. It's as brilliant as it ever was. It's exactly the same sort of thing as we've seen on the previous seasons. I really, really love that series. I think it's really solid and thoroughly worth watching. I also started catching up on Line of Duty Season 5, talking about iPlayer stuff, because I realised, because I watched the others on Netflix and they've only got the four seasons, and then I realised that the fifth season was actually still on iPlayer as well. So I'll be watching that on iPlayer, and I'm a few episodes into that. That's the Stephen Graham one, and it's just phenomenal. I'm really, really enjoying that. The other thing I watched this week, though, Truth Seekers, which is due out later on in the week, but because I've been doing interviews and press with some of the people involved, I had a preview of the entire season. I didn't watch the entire season. I only watched the first episode. The reason being, if you've ever had a preview tape of something, when they send the links through to you, they put your email address across the middle of it as a watermark to make sure you're not going to take photos of the screen and, you know, post them online and all that sort of stuff, which is great. And I entirely get that. The watermark for this was so intrusive, though. It was right across the middle of the screen and huge. And I was like, I watched the first episode of it and I thought, well, yeah, because I was interviewing, I actually interviewed Malcolm McDowell for it. And that interview's up on the website if you want to go and read that. But I actually only watched the first episode because I'm like, I'm really enjoying this, but I don't want to watch the whole thing with a massive watermark across the middle of it, which really, really distracting. First episode's great, though. It's the new show from Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, although Nick Frost is more the main character. Simon Pegg basically turned up at the end and did all his work in about 4 days, apparently. So Nick Frost plays a installer of kind of Sky type equipment. He's sort of a broadband installer, but has this side gig, has a YouTube channel, which is a sort of side gig hunting ghosts, basically. And there are sort of paranormal things going on, and it's him, and he sort of starts to form this team of people around him that help him go on this sort of interesting journey. And as they go through the series, they end up realizing that there is far more at stake than just them hunting ghosts, and there is potentially an apocalypse on the way. So, you know, it's the standard thing with Peg and Frost of it always ends up in an apocalypse at some point.
what channel is that going to be on, Dave?
It's a Amazon Prime original. It will be on Amazon Prime. It comes out later this week. You'll get the date at the end of the show when we do the list, but it comes out later this week. It is well worth watching, though. I really enjoyed it. It's very funny. Malcolm McDowell plays Nick Frost's dad. Simon Pegg is actually playing the boss of the broadband company where he's an installer. And has a spectacular wig as well in this as well. So yeah, it's very, very funny. There's some wonderful people involved in it. I would urge you to go and watch it because it is brilliant, particularly if you like Peg and Frost. It is well worth going to see.
Fantastic.
That's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups as ever. Cancellations, well, not so much a show as an entire network.
Yeah.
as you probably may have seen, Quibi, which was the streaming service, has announced that they are closing on the 1st of December. Now, we've mentioned Quibi a few times before. If you've not come across it, it's no great surprise because it didn't release to a huge amount of fanfare over here. But the unique selling point of Quibi was it is designed for what they call quick bites of stories, which is where the Quibi name comes from. It's a sort of amalgamation of quick bites. So each episode of the show is only around 8 to 10 minutes long. And the theory being that people could, you know, if they had a spare 5 minutes, you know, if they were going to the bathroom and took their phone with them, or if they're waiting for a bus, or, you know, if they're at the gym, whatever it was, they could catch little 10-minute episodes of really decent, high-quality drama. And they broke them down into these little episodes, and you know, you could just kind of watch through them as you wish. They came up with this idea as a premise, and it's just not worked.
Well, there's a pandemic as well.
Well,
that,
yeah,
that really, I mean, did affect some of their core focus, didn't it, for marketing?
Yeah, I mean, they have a few different things which have affected it. I mean, I'm sure it's something that the entire industry will comb through in detail over the next few months. But I mean, they weren't lacking in content, because some of the stuff on there was brilliant. I mean, Most Dangerous Game I thought was superb. That was Liam Hemsworth and Christoph Waltz, and it was, I think it's an adaptation of a book, I think, but that I thought was brilliant. And it's called a series, but essentially, I mean, most series are basically movies chopped into pieces, most of those dramas. There was Survive, which starred Sophie Turner and Corey Hawkins. I thought that was superb. The Fugitive, which was Boyd Holbrook and Kiefer Sutherland, that was brilliant. And Freeway Shaw as well, which I haven't actually watched, but I mean, it stars Lawrence Fishburne and took home 2 Emmys. So, I mean, they had a whole bunch of things nominated for Emmys in short form categories as well. So really wasn't short of decent content. So that was never the issue. Number of factors working against it. One, as you say, the pandemic, because it's designed as something you could watch when you're out and about and had a spare few moments. And they launched it in April. And you're like, so the entire premise of it was that you could do it when you're out waiting for a bus, or you're queuing somewhere, or you're on the tube or something like that, and the entire world is locked away indoors. So that was their first problem. Second issue, I think, was there was very little flexibility in it, because you've now got this issue that they've launched this platform when people are at home. But when they launched it, you couldn't watch it on a TV. You could only watch it on your phone. You couldn't even use the built-in throw to your Chromecast or use screen mirroring or anything on it. So even if you were going to watch it at home, you had to watch it on a phone or a tablet. You couldn't watch it on your big 50-inch TV that was sat in your lounge, which was a major issue. And they did fix that eventually and allow screencasting. And they have actually, like, literally the day before they made this announcement that they were shutting, they launched an app for things like Apple TV and that sort of stuff. But very much too little too late, I think, by that point.
Yeah, they had a weird pricing strategy as well. I know we've talked about it before, in terms of you're paying the equivalent of Netflix in the UK for it. And I think that's part of their problem. And I'm not sure if it was on a podcast with you or Matt. I get a tech email every so often, and they were actually trying to sell the platform first. So they put themselves up for sale. And obviously it hasn't happened. And so now the big question is, who's going to get their content, or has the deal been made and we don't know about it? We find out in December, because
This is the ridiculous thing. And yes, as you have said, the pricing structure for it was a major issue. The pricing structure for the entire platform was $7.99 in the UK, and you can get a basic Netflix package for $5.99. So out of the two, what are you going to go for? You know?
Exactly.
I mean, it was just really badly priced. And I mean, you can get Amazon Prime for $7.99, and that
you get deliveries in as well.
Yeah, and you get deliveries in that. You can get Now TV for $9.99. So, I mean, there's only really, out of all the streaming platforms, there's only Now TV, which was more expensive. And you can get deals on Now TV as well.
Yeah, so, and Now TV, hats off. They've just offered me a $2.99 for another 6 months.
Well, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm win winning with them at the moment. I'm so glad I left Sky for them.
Yeah, you do, well, I mean, you say left Sky for them, it's the same company, just different ends of it. But yeah, so that to me was the major problem. I mean, yes, they were affected by the pandemic. Yes, they were affected by the technology because it wasn't set up to stream to TV. But ultimately, the price was ludicrous for what it was. And that was always going to be an issue. When it comes to the content, I did read a report that saying Quibi don't own any of the content, which is a major oversight. So it all belongs to, in most cases, I mean, maybe not in every case, but an awful lot of cases, the shows belong to the people that make them, not Quibi themselves. So yes, there is a good possibility that you may see some of these things pop up on other services, but it sounds like a lot of them are owned by the individual production companies that made them, which seems like a massive oversight on their part, in all honesty. But it does mean that you might end up seeing a form of The Fugitive pop up somewhere else. I mean, you know, whether it's a longer form, whether it's, I mean, because you're not going to get them in this format again, I don't think. No. But you might get a Fugitive made for TV or made for streaming movie. You might get a Most Dangerous Game made for streaming movie, because essentially they're the same length. So that might be one way of doing it. You might get some of these expanded into longer series. That's the other possibility. Yeah. But we don't know at the moment.
Well, another victim of 2020.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, literally as well, because it had only been running slightly over 6 months. So, yeah, I mean, I did use it, particularly Nish Kumar had a show on there called Hello America, which is on twice a week. And I really enjoy that show. He's very, very funny. I've been watching that. But to be honest, apart from the shows we've just mentioned, those are the only things I really watched on it. So, you know, it's a shame because it was an interesting idea. It just fell flat on its face. So, yes, that is now gone, or will be going by the 1st of December anyway. So it will be nice to see maybe something like Netflix or one of the other streaming services pick up some of the things like The Fugitive and like Most Dangerous Game and restructure them into a full-blown film and put them out that way. I think that will be the way to do it. Moving on to other things which have been cancelled. Away, which was that series about travelling to Mars, one of the many series that have been recently about the travelling to Mars, that was the Netflix show. They've cancelled that after one season, which I think is a bit of a shame. It starred Hilary Swank, and I quite enjoyed it. I thought the first season was quite good. It seems basically to have been viewing figures versus cost of the series more than anything else.
Very quick cancellation from Netflix as well. It's only just been released. Normally you wait at least 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very, very fast turnaround. I mean, 4th of September that came out, so it's literally, you know, slightly over a month since it came out and they've cancelled it. Whether that was because they were asking whether they could go back into production, or I mean, I don't know, but whether the numbers just weren't there, I'm not sure. But it adds to the pile of things that Netflix have cancelled this year, which include things like Altered Carbon, Glow, The Society, I Am Not Okay With This, Teenage Bounty Hunters, Dark Crystal, that series has gone as well. So there's been a huge sway of things that they've cut down this year, not to mention the things that are coming to end, like Sabrina and that sort of stuff.
Still sad about Glow.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people sad about Glow. I mean, Glow, out of all the things they cancelled, Glow was particularly the one that I understood, because whilst it was viable as a series, there is just absolutely no way they can film it at the moment, and you can't keep everybody on contract indefinitely, you know.
Yeah,
so it's
good on them for paying their cast, though, just to say that. That's good of them.
Yeah, it is. Real shame they couldn't. I mean, there's just no way at the moment, when you're dealing with a wrestling series, you can film it right now. It's just, it would be too dangerous. So I'm sad to see Away go away. the thing is, as well, that show was pretty much set up very well for a Netflix series, because it could have run for 3 seasons. You could have had one of season of them getting to Mars, one season of them on Mars, and one season of them getting home again. 3 seasons, in and out, done. But I mean, clearly too expensive to do. And if you were going to set the second season on Mars, that would have only made it even more expensive, I guess. And the third one isn't so much a cancellation, but more a confirmation of what we kind of already knew. Mindhunter is not returning for another season anytime soon, if ever. This has been David Fincher. He was talking in an interview about, you know, he was the man behind it. He was talking in an interview about the show and basically said that they had the budget cut back a bit for the second season. They don't think they could have cut it back even more. It's quite an expensive show to produce because if you think about it, it is a period piece, and I suspect there is an awful lot of invisible VFX work in that show that you don't notice on screen because of the fact it is a period piece. He's basically said he needed a break. It was all consuming, so he wanted a little break from it. Netflix agreed. Netflix have said, you know, it might be something that we maybe come back to in a few years, but at the moment, no, they're not going to do it. So it's a real shame. I'd like them to bring it back maybe in a movie format or something like that, because I think it was a solid series. We already kind of knew that was going because they'd released all the cats from their contracts. So that's a shame. But it was a great show. I don't know whether you ever saw that, but it was really good.
I definitely watched season one. I never got around to season two, and then he released the story that it wasn't coming back. So I think I was like, oh, maybe I'm not going to get involved in that one just in case I like it too much. So yeah, I never watched season two.
Season two's worth watching. It's a good little self-contained story as well. There are obviously teasers throughout it, which they did with the first season of kind of trying to set things up for a potential third season, but it is worth watching, definitely. In terms of renewals, they announced that Stage, the brilliant and wonderful Michael Sheen and David Tennant comedy, is going to return for a second season, which was a bit of a surprise because that was billed as a limited thing. You know, it was created in lockdown. The idea, premise behind it was versions of Michael Sheen and David Tennant were supposed to be doing a play in the West End, and they'd all got furloughed because of the pandemic. So they were trying to do the rehearsals on Zoom. And it was one of the funniest, if not the funniest comedy I've seen so far this year. I thought it was absolutely hilarious and just wonderful. It's actually on Netflix, and apparently the Netflix version is slightly longer than the BBC version as well. They've added some extra bits in. It's on Netflix and it's on iPlayer as well. But I'm so happy they're coming back with the second season for that, because I thought it was brilliant. Just amazing. Same people involved as well. So Channel 4 have renewed Statlett's Flats for a third season, which, given the fact that it took home a bunch of BAFTAs, I don't think that's a great surprise to anybody.
No, yeah, that's a good result as well.
Yeah.
For them.
I think it was Matt that I was talking to just after the BAFTA Awards. We were somewhat surprised by the amount of BAFTAs that it took away, because, I mean, I've not seen it at all. Matt's watched a few episodes of it and sort of says some of it's quite funny, some of it he doesn't get at all. I was quite shocked because, I mean, it was beating things like Fleabag in categories.
Yeah. It's definitely an acquired taste, I think I'll say. I mean, I enjoy it, but I definitely know there's enough people saying, I just do not get it. How can this beat some of the things it was up against? And I get that there's a lot of frustration. I suppose sometimes that's down to our British ways of what we think is funny. And this has got a niche humour to it. And, you know, many years ago, you would never catch me watching something like The League of Gentlemen because I never got that. Or you know, some people found it funny. And it is all about taste. And this one, it is you have to like that style of humour. So and it's got quite a niche audience.
I should give it a go. And, you know, hats off to them for doing three seasons and doing so well at the BAFTAs. You know, that was great. But that is coming back for a third season. That I don't think it's a great surprise to anybody. Also renewed Archer, that's coming back for a 12th season. Still going. I've never seen that either, but I know there's a huge fan base for that. And Miracle Workers, they officially announced that it was renewed for a third season this week, although we kind of already knew that because it had popped up as having been awarded California tax credits a few months ago. So we knew that they kind of were going to bring it back anyway, but they only officially renewed it this week. But what they have done is given us a bit of background, because it's an anthology series, that what the new season will entail. They've said it's set in the year 1844. It follows an idealistic small town preacher played by Daniel Radcliffe, who teams up with a wanted outlaw played by Steve Buscemi and a liberated prairie wife played by Geraldine Viswanathan to lead a wagon train west on the Oregon Trail across the American landscape, which, much like today, is fraught with both promise and peril. It's the setup for it. I adored the first two seasons of this. I'm very much looking forward to this one. As I mentioned, they got California tax credits, so they're filming this one in California. They filmed the previous couple in Czech Republic, but obviously with the pandemic and everything, and you know, the fact that they got tax credits for it, they're moving it to California this time around. It also kind of makes sense given that that's the setting for it. I mean, why would you film anywhere other than California if you tried to film, or somewhere in America if you tried to film the American Old West? So, but have you watched any of these?
I just did not find it funny the first season. I remember
around the time I was watching it, and I remember doing an episode, and I just couldn't get into it. It was around the time Sky Comedy launched. I remember I went to try lots of them. I just remember just watching it, just completely stony face, and I was like, I'm not laughing. Should I be laughing? And you know, so unfortunately, it was not my cup of tea.
Yes, there you go. Different humour for everybody, as humor, I was saying. But yeah, no, I find that absolutely hilarious, that show. So I'm very happy that's back. Pickups and advanced air dates. There's a few coronavirus things that have been mugging around with release dates and stuff. CBS have announced that the start dates for SEAL Team, FBI, FBI Most Wanted, and Bull, the new seasons of all those, are starting in November on CBS in the US. That's good news. I would expect not to see most of those until 2021 over here, but they are now back. I mean, they've done very, very well with all those, because traditionally most of those started late September, early October. So they've done incredibly well to turn those around to only being a few weeks behind, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to have those at least returning in the US. Previously announced as returning Chicago's, Grey's, Station 19, all the NCIS's, Young Sheldon, Good Doctor and The Blacklist are all back in the US in November. We don't know about the UK yet, but in the US, they're all back in November. CW shows, including The Arrowverse and Riverdale, 911, 911, Lone Star, Prodigal Son and The Resident are all January in the US. Again, we don't know UK air dates for those, but just to give you an idea of how things have shifted around with those US shows that you may be following, those are all the when they return in America, because they've all been shifted about because of the pandemic.
Well, as you know, I'm a huge fan of all the Chicago's, apart from PD. I watched the other two. Grey's, absolutely. CW shows, The Flash, obviously, The Supergirl, and Legends, and also the new one, and yes. 911 as well. I'm not sure if I can get through to season two of Prodigal Son. I'm still crawling through season one.
I am enjoying it. It's just fun. I like the characters, and I love Michael Sheen in that as well. He's good fun. So yeah, I am enjoying that. In terms of some of the Sky things, actually, they did just today drop a sort of update of things that are arriving in December. So there's a few sort of Christmas shows which we've talked about before. There's a Roland Beatrix, The Case of the Curious Mouse, which is Dawn French, Jessica Hyde's Rob Brydon, and it's about this relationship between Beatrix Potter and Roald Dahl, who was a very young boy at the time, and a sort of historical retelling of their sort of meeting. So there's that. There's After Ever After, Jack and the Beanstalk, which is basically the same thing he did, what was Cinderella, wasn't it? I think he did last year. That's David Williams, and they're doing Jack and the Beanstalk this year. Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas is a Christmas thing. Mickey Flanagan, Peeping Behind the Curtain, which is a thing that followed him around on his last tour. There is a Christmas special for League of Their Own, one for the Something About movies. Russell Howard apparently has got a Christmas special this year as well, and The Simpsons have got Christmas specials, so there's all those to look forward to. In terms of regular shows, Euphoria has got two special standalone episodes coming before the next proper season. They're going to be coming out, or at least the first one of those is definitely coming out over Christmas. A new show pickup, which we weren't entirely sure was going to land here, but Moonbase 8, which stars John C. Reilly, Fred Armiston, and Tim Heidecker as three astronauts that are stationed on the NASA Moonbase simulator in a remote part of the Arizona desert. And they're kind of incompetent, and they're full of self-doubt and loneliness, and they're sort of stuck in the simulator, but they're trying to prove that they are the people that NASA should pick to go to the moon next. So it looks very, very funny. It's a Showtime series in the US, but they have announced that that's coming to Sky Comedy in December in the UK. So that's one to look out for. For Life, which is a drama about a prisoner who starts to become a lawyer and a sort of legal advocate for other prisoners and other inmates as well, fighting to overturn various life sentences. That looks really, really solid. Nicholas Pinnock, I think, is the lead in it. And it looks really, really good. It's called For Life. It's coming on to Sky Witness in December as well. Don't know exactly when yet. We just know December for that. NCIS LA and Magnum PI, which are all part of that whole same universe thing, they've both been announced for December, although I rather suspect they're going to be very, very, very late December, because they usually are. They've also announced a bunch of other things which are going to show up in 2021. So no exact air dates, just these are things which we have lined up for 2021. So Discovery of Witches, we know that is coming back. I think that is January, that. But things like Brassic Season 3, Hitmen Season 2, Intelligence Season 2, Bulletproof Season 3, Breeder Season 2, which was great, Code 404 Season 2, Cobra Season 2, Temple Season 2. There's a new show called Intergalactic, which is a new sci-fi series that Sky are doing, which looks really interesting. Avenue 5 Season 2, Prodigal Son Season 2, they're all coming to Sky One. You've got The Nevers, which is the new Joss Whedon show, that's coming to Sky Atlantic. Britannia Season 3, 000, Devils, Dominia, which is a new Sky show about the era of Julius Caesar, but told from the women's point of view, which looks really interesting. Succession Season 3 as well. Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 11 as well. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that is coming. Anything particular that you're interested in out of that lot?
I was listening for your seasons of some of those comedies, Hitmen, Breeders, and I also watched the drama Bulletproof, so I'm really glad that those are coming back as well. I'm not sure about Intelligence. Again, we go back to what our humour tastes are like. Mm. I tried watching that. I love David Schwimmer, but did not find it funny.
Yeah, that didn't land with me particularly well either. I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't great. I'm very interested to see Avenue 5 Season 2, because I think there is potential for that to be a lot better than the first season. And I enjoyed the first season, but it wasn't quite up to the level that I've expected from Armando Iannucci. And I would like to see him kick that up a little gear, you know. So I enjoyed that, but I'm very interested to see where it goes with Season 2. Breeders, I thought, again, is one of my top comedies of the year. I just thought that was absolutely hilarious. I need to go and watch the rest of Code 404 because I did enjoy that, but it just got away from me. And as a huge Joff Whedon's fan, I'm looking forward to The Nevers turning up whenever that does turn up, but we don't know when yet. A couple of other bits of coronavirus news. Reagan, which is a Ronald Reagan biopic, which was filming in Oklahoma starring Dennis Quaid, that's been shut down for a few days because one of the crew tested positive. And the release date for Ghostbusters Afterlife has been moved from March to June 11th, 2021. Are you looking forward to a new Ghostbusters movie? It looks really interesting what they're doing with this.
I think the trailer was really interesting. I love Paul Rudd in anything he does, so I probably will be watching it. But then, you know, I'm one of these rare people that didn't mind the female remake. I understood what they were doing with it and I enjoyed it for what it was. So yeah, I'll definitely watch it. I'd like to see the twist on it and see how they're taking it.
Yeah, because rather than trying to be a remake of it, the premise of this is using the original Ghostbusters as history, and the strapline for it says a single mum and her two kids who arrive in a small town begin to discover their connection to the original Ghostbusters and a secret legacy their grandfather left behind. So presumably their grandfather is one of the original Ghostbusters, but that's all they've really released about it in that little trailer. But it does look fascinating. I'm really intrigued by that film. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of it. But June 11th, 2021, they've now said that is landing. Couple of bits of air date information. Spitting Image is getting a two-part election special. As we know, it's on BritBox at the moment, as we talked about previously. But the first part of that election special is going to air on ITV as well on the 31st of October. And it's going to be airing on ITV at 10 p.m. Part two will only air on BritBox. But at least for those of you that are interested to see what the new Spitting Image is like, you can get a little taste of it on there, which I think is good. I am really enjoying it because I got BritBox purely to be able to watch this, and I've been really enjoying it.
I don't have BritBox, but my friend does, and we've been planning to, but we just get caught up in other things, and Taskmaster came back, so we watched that instead, and right. We will watch it, but we'll get round to it another time, I think.
Yeah, I have been really enjoying it. It's very funny. In terms of some pickups, West Wing seasons 1 to 7, so that's all of them, is are landing Wednesday the 21st of October on all four, along with One Tree Hill seasons 1 to 9, so that's all seasons of that on the 30th of October. They're coming to all four as well. West Wing, if you've never seen it, is one of the best TV shows ever made and is well worth watching and working your way through. I've never seen One Tree Hill. I don't know whether that was one you've ever caught, but it's not one I've watched.
No, it was around university, so I remember people in my university used to watch One Tree Hill instead of Dawson's Creek when that went away, and I know Dawson's Creek is coming to Netflix soon as well. Yeah. But no, never watched One Tree Hill. I know they had the song that everyone talks about and sings, but yeah, no, I won't be watching that one either.
Yeah, no, West Wing definitely though. If you've not seen the West Wing, watch the West Wing. It's absolutely superb. And Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the fourth and final season, Netflix announced today that that will be coming on the 31st of December. So if you want something other than watching fireworks on New Year's Eve, there you go. You can watch Chilling Adventures of Sabrina for the last time. So that'll be the final part of that. On to other news. ITV have ordered a Yorkshire Ripper drama from the producers of Dez. So they did White House Farm and they did Dez. They're now ordered what is currently being referred to as the Yorkshire Ripper, although that is only a working title. They may change that, from New Pictures in association with All3Media, who are the people that were involved in Dez and White House Farm. So as you would expect, the drama depicts one of the most notorious and shocking serial killer cases in the world, the hunt for Pete Sutcliffe, who was dubbed the Yorkshire Ripper between October 1975 and January 1981. Police undertook the biggest manhunt in British criminal history. The search for Sutcliffe lasted 5 years, involved 1,000 officers, and changed the way British police work forever. One of the things that, when you read through the rest of this press release that they said, one of the things that stands out a lot is I think they got some criticism about glorifying serial killers. And they've really, really got out of their way to make the point that they are focusing with this series very much on the families and the effect it had on the families of the victims and the police officers involved. And they are coming at it from that point of view, not just glorifying the serial killer themselves, which is always a danger when you're doing something like this. But certainly that's what it kind of points to in the press release. We'll have to see where it actually lands. But I'm really interested in it partly because one of the screenwriters is George Kay, who is co-creator of Criminal, the absolutely superb Netflix series, which is all set in a interrogation room. He's the co-creator of that, so I'm really interested to see how he handles this as a sort of real life thing. Did you watch Dez or White House Farm? I watched Dez.
I did watch White House Farm. I really enjoyed it. I like the structure of it and the story. And I do remember reading some of the articles then about, are we glorifying this serial killer? Yeah. But I really like that. I haven't quite watched Dez yet. I do plan to. It is on my long list. I just don't know when I'm going to get around to do it.
Dez is well worth watching. And I did enjoy Dez. I didn't see White House Farm, but it may be one that I go back and look at some point. But they've got a solid person behind it. No casting or anything like that for it yet, but because they've only just announced it. But I'd be interested to see how they approach that. That will be the latest one in their sort of serial killer series that ITV appears to be developing at the moment. On a rather lighter note, there is a Smokey and the Bandit TV series in development, apparently. Are you aware of the Smokey and the Bandit movies? Because I'm acutely aware that these are sort of 70s, 80s things. And I remember them because they were always shown on TV when I was a kid. But I don't know.
I mean, I remember my dad referring to him. My dad was a big fan of Westerns and Burt Reynolds and that. So, right. But no, they've never, ever come onto my radar.
Okay, so Smokey and the Bandit, for those that you don't know, it was a series of movies that starred Burt Reynolds and Sally Fields and Jackie Gleason and Jerry Reed. The first movie revolved around Beau Bandit Darville, who was Burt Reynolds' character, and Cletus Snowman Snow, who was played by Reed. They were bootleggers and they were trying to illegally transport 400 cases of beer from Texas to Georgia. Snowman was the guy that drove the beer truck, and the bandit drove this Pontiac Trans Am, which was a way of distracting and making the cops chase after him so the truck could get away. That was the sort of setup for it. it was fun and very silly, and there was often sort of races and stuff involved, and there was stupid amount of stunts. It was just a gloriously fun and silly kind of 70s film franchise. The strapline for the new possible potential TV series is an epic adventure of family, small town crime, unlikely heroes, legend and legacy. Inspired by the genres of the 70s and 80s driving double feature, the series will explore the crossroads where humble realities meets those larger than life, all in the blast of a tailpipe exhaust, is the what they're saying with it. The series has been written by David Gordon Green, who is probably best known for reviving the Halloween franchise randomly most recently, and Brian Sides, who worked on the series that David Gordon Green created called Good Vibes, which is an adult animated show. Green's also worked on Vice Principals and Righteous Gemstones with Danny McBride. He's also directed Pineapple Express and Your Highness as well. So it gives you some idea of the type of humour it's probably going to end up being, because he's somebody that's worked with Danny McBride quite a lot. And when you put it into that context, I can see where they're potentially going with it. It's also got Seth MacFarlane involved with his production company as producers as well.
Danny McBride, some of his things have really appealed to me lately. Vice Principals I liked, and The Righteous Gemstones, which I watched late in the game, but really started to enjoy it. So I'm not sure. I will. It depends what's on my plate by the time it gets released.
Yes. Well, if it gets released, I mean, that's the thing. It is in development at the moment. There's no network attached, although it's in development at UCP, and UCP is part of NBC Universal, which means it's technically the same company as Sky and the same company as NBC in the US. So that's probably where it's going to land if it does actually go forward anywhere. I mean, it's an interesting one. It's not something that I would have seen as a TV series, but we'll have to see whether that turns up or not. And lastly, there is a Willow TV series in the works with Warwick Davis set to return as the titular character. So lots of 80s nostalgia kicking around this week. So legendary Warwick Davis returning to the magical world of George Lucas's Willow in another epic fantasy adventure set in the age of swords, sorcery, myths and monsters. If you don't know Willow and have not seen the original movie, it is a beautiful film. Warwick Davis's Willow Offgood, a young farmer and conjurer who discovers a baby girl in a reed basket near a river. What he doesn't know at the time is the baby's supposed to fulfill a prophecy which would see the downfall of the evil sorceress queen, and has been smuggled away by a midwife to keep her safe, much to the anger of the queen. With the help of a mercenary played by Val Kilmer and a warrior played by Jonah Whaley, Willow embarks on a quest to take the child to safety. The new series is set to take place years after the events of the original film, introduces new characters to the enchanted realm of fairy queens and two-headed monsters, and welcomes back its namesake hero, Willow, once again played by Warwick Davis. The pilot is going to be directed by John M. Chu, who did Crazy Rich Asians and In the Heights, and he's serving along as a producer alongside Jonathan Kasdan, who's the person behind Solo, who wrote the pilot, and Wendy Mercical, who worked on Arrow. He's one of the Berlanti people, I think. So yeah, I'm really interested to see this because I adore Warwick. He's hilarious and very funny, and I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's great. Willow he's such a lovely film as well. I don't know whether you know this franchise at all.
I know of it. I've heard of it, and I know that's how Warwick became famous, and I've seen him interviewed and talk about it a lot. I'm not sure it fully appeals to me. It probably is just a little bit too much of the fantasy sci-fi that I don't really get drawn into. But again, another nostalgic show they're bringing back. It's definitely where they're getting all their creative ideas at the moment, isn't it?
Yes. First non-Star Wars piece of storytelling for Lucasfilm since 2015, apparently.
Wow.
So it's the first time they've stepped outside Star Wars in quite a while. But I'm very interested in this. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad they found a way of doing it, keeping, you know, they're not just trying to remake something. They're keeping it with, you know, it's an extension of the original, which is definitely a way to do it. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I think that could be interesting. One other quick little story that popped up today. There is a live-action Addams Family series in the works. Now, you're aware of the Addams Family, I'm sure.
Yeah, I am, yes, yes.
And if you wanted one director who was going to make a TV series out of it, who else would you pick than Tim Burton, I think?
Oh, God, yes.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, I think everybody knows the Addams Family setup, sort of macabre interest family with kind of some supernatural abilities. You've got the Gomez and Morticia and the creepy kid Wednesday and her older brother as well, who she likes to torture a lot. done Uncle Fester, and you know, so you know the setup for it. There've been lots of different variations of this. Started out in 1938 as a one-panel cartoon gag thing for the New Yorker. That's where it originally started. But there've been two live-action TV series, one in the 60s, one in the 90s, animated series in the 70s and the 90s. There was a CGI animated version which went down quite well last year, and there is another sequel to that which is due out in 2021. You've also got the very famous film versions in the 90s, which was Angelica Hudson and Christopher Lloyd and Christina Ricci and all those people. So a lot of people, it's been kind of remade time and time again. But I think if you're going to make a TV series of this, if you want anybody to do it, you want Tim Burton to do it, because he's just the perfect fit. I'm surprised that he hasn't kind of come across this already. What is interesting is what they're saying is the way that they're actually talking about doing it is to set it in present times and from the perspective of Wednesday Addams as what the world looks like to her in 2020, which seems like an interesting way to approach it. I mean, presumably the rest of the family is going to be there as well. But I think that's an interesting, slightly different way of looking at it, possibly, if you go to kind of do it and come at it from an angle.
I go through it in lots of history. Like, I remember watching it on BBC Two when I was younger.
Yes.
I remember the first movies. Haven't sort of picked up on the latest iterations, but if you're going to bring it to the screen again, you've got to try and do a different approach and spin on it. I think if you just reproduce the same sort of structure, it's not going to appeal and you're probably going to have people turn off. So, you know what? If you're going to take a different approach, hopefully it works. It still holds some of the bits that we really like and really enjoy. And yeah, let's see it. Tim Burton, he'll have it thematically and stylistically all set up, won't he? So yeah, get some good script writers on board and I'm sure it'll all go to plan.
Yeah, well, the script writers involved in it are Alfred Goff and Miles Miller, who were probably best known for Smallville, actually, more than anything else. But they also did Into the Badlands and Shannara Chronicles as well. Shannara Chronicles was an interesting little show. And I know there was a lot of fans of Into the Badlands as well. And I enjoyed Smallville. So I think they're solid writing partners. It seems slightly outside their wheelhouse, possibly, but that's okay. I'm prepared to see what they do with it. And you know, Burton himself, he's also on to direct and EP as well, so he's going to have a lot of control over the project, assuming he signs on. They haven't actually fully necessarily signed him yet, but he's in talks to do it. We'll have to see where it lands. There's no broadcaster attached to it at the moment. It's been developed by MGM TV, who are the rights holders for the Addams Family IP, apparently. We'll have to see whether it lands anywhere, if it comes anywhere. But yes, that I thought was interesting. That is in development as well. That's all the news we've got for this week. Let's move to some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week, and we've got quite a lot, actually, starting next week. Blindspot, finally, the fifth and final season of that is coming to Sky Witness on the 28th of October at 9 p.m. I'm looking forward to seeing how that ends. We've got This Is Us, season 5, starting on the 28th of October as well. That's on Amazon Prime, and is going out the day after it goes out in the US for the first time, which, given what a huge show it is a really surprise that it's only now, in its fifth season, it's actually getting a next day broadcast in the UK. But that I'm very happy that is airing. Mr. In Between, which is an Australian crime comedy written and starring Scott Ryan, that's coming to Fox UK on the 29th of October at 10 p.m. so watch out for that. Looks quite funny. Max, which is about a formerly famous boy band member whose star has faded and is trying to sort of get back into the limelight to win back his supermodel ex-girlfriend, that originally launched on E4. It's now coming to Channel 4 on the 29th of October at 10 p.m. so you can catch that there. The Mandalorian returns for its second season on Disney Plus on the 30th of October. I'm hugely excited about that. I've seen just little clips and bits and pieces of it, and it looks brilliant even just for that. Truth Seekers starts on Amazon Prime on the 30th of October as well, so you've got that to catch up over there, and that is well worth watching. When the Heart Calls, sixth season of that, turns up on Netflix on the 31st. Then over on Fox on the 1st of November, you have Perfect Harmony, which is the church choir comedy we've mentioned a few times, starring Bradley Whitford, which looks like it could be quite funny. And I mean, it was never going to last more than a season in America, but I think a British audience audience might gain some appreciation for that. Godfather of Harlem, which is a crime drama starring Forrest Whitaker. It's based on a true life character called Bumpy Johnson. That comes to Starzplay on the 1st of November. Then Basket, the fourth season of that, comes to Fox on the 2nd of November. And Black Friday, second season of that, comes to Sky Comedy. That's on the 3rd of November at 9 p.m, which is the show starring John Cheadle about the infamous 80s stock market crash. It's a very funny dark comedy, that one as well. So that's everything for this week. I think there's enough there for you to be getting on to watch.
Definitely, definitely lots in there.
If people want to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
Over on Twitter, they can follow @GreyTheGeek, either seeing me complain about consumer issues or occasionally put some information on there about TV programs that I'm watching.
Cool. So go and find Grey out there. And if you want to check out anybody else involved with the podcast, you can find Bex over on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's B-Y-T-E, who is streaming daily and various evenings over on there. She's very funny. Go and check that out. You can also get Matt over on entertainmenttalk.org for an awful lot more podcasts. And we're doing Walking Dead stuff over there and stuff for Breaking Bad as well, we've been doing recently. So go and check all that out over on there on entertainmenttalk.org. For us, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and find all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave your message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, or on Instagram @geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.